tonight that I'd put this under the title of church history, because it does have something to do with the history of the early church when they first appointed deacons. And so it is a part of church history. This is a letter that I got from Sissy, C-I-S-S-Y, Sissy Hopper, Ernie Hopper's wife. And Sissy, when Ernie announced his call to go to the mission field, I thought to myself, Sissy's a nice person, but I thought she will never make it, which is something that you can't help but do is think. And I made a judgment, but I couldn't believe she would ever survive the things she'd have to go through. She not only survived them, she was magnificent in it. And she's turned out to be a real helpmeet to Ernie, and I have great admiration for her. Now, I get constant things like this over the internet all the time from a lot of missionary Baptists. And I also get a lot of requests from people that aren't missionary Baptists. I guess I've kind of become Ann Landers. And they ask me all kinds of questions, and normally I just look it up, work on it, send it back to them, and you don't ever see it. But this one from Sissy was an interesting one, and I had to prepare this answer, so I thought, well, I'll just preach this. And so I decided to do this tonight. Hello, Brother McElmurray. I trust that this finds you and Imogene well. We're fine. I want to thank you for all the emails you send. I enjoy them, and they provide much thought and study for me. I value your opinion on things, and I appreciate that your stand on things, even when it is not popular. I think you have done a great work in performing the churches on things dealing with the end times. I give you my word, I didn't put this up here so I could toot my own horn, but this, I had to go through this to give you the reason behind this. I know that your teachings have influenced my life, and they really have. I've known her for a long time, and Ernie. I have a question for you concerning deaconesses or female deacons. Now, when we get new members in this church, after a while, they begin to find out some things that we believe. And sometimes it makes them so mad they can spit snowballs. And one or two things happen. They either get over it or they leave. So sometimes you see somebody that's joined this church that you really honestly like, and you think that they're just absolutely wonderful people, and they are. But all of a sudden, they just leave. It's because they've come across something that this church believes and practices that we can't afford to compromise on. And so they either get over it and stay, or they just quit. So this has happened here in the 31 years I've been here many times. This is one of the things, but there are many other things along this line that we just don't do in this church because we don't believe the Bible teaches it. I have a question for you concerning deaconesses or female deacons. Sissy says, not that I want to be one myself, but I have a Southern Baptist sister-in-law that has been going to a liberal Southern Baptist church seminary, and now she wants to be ordained. Ernie and I just laughed, but she is serious, and his mother is egging her on. I would love to have some material to show to her. I am not sure that she would listen in her zeal to be ordained, but at least I could try. I have not found where a woman was ordained to be a deaconess. In some study of the background of 1 Peter, I found where some men deaconesses in early churches were persecuted for information and then for renouncing of the faith. And Ernie told me where Phoebe was deaconess. In the Greek, is Phoebe a feminine word, or could it be a man named Phoebe? This is the one they always throw up about Phoebe, who was called a servant, and the word for servant is deaconess. I would like to have your input on this. Please pass my greetings on to the church, Sissy Hopper. Well, this is what I sent her back. One of the nice things about emails, you can send long things back, and you can send them as attachments. So this is what I sent her back. And it's something that really maybe will benefit all of us. If we look at it, and maybe you're a new member here, and maybe this office of deacon and things of that nature, the old timers here, they've known this for years, but maybe it's something you need to be exposed to. Deacon, there is an office, but every church member can do the work of the job description. There is an office, but every church member, male, female, can do the work of the job description. One does not have to hold the office of deacon to do the job of one. The word translated deacon appears under the office title twice in the New Testament. You'll see the word D-E-A-C-O-N, the office of a deacon. And you'll see it used twice in the New Testament. But I'm going to show you what the actual word deacon means. But the office of a deacon can only be held by a male. Now, I didn't make the rules. God did. And whatever God decides is right. And so God decided that if they were going to have deacons in the church, that those deacons would have to be male, but he used the word deacon, diakonos, many different times to refer to the job description and not to the office of a deacon. So this church, as long as I'm pastor, we will never ordain anyone to the office of deacon unless they're male. Now, there are lots of other things that this church practices that some people need to know about, and you may not like it, but we don't allow anyone to preach or teach in this church that is not of like faith and order. That's because we believe that the truth is very important. So we don't allow anyone to preach or teach in this church that is not of like faith and order. Now, there are three ministries in the church, three things in a church that a church does that are involved in the worship of God. One, preaching. Two, teaching. Three, singing. Now, the one singing is where people get in trouble, because they say, we ought to let anybody sing in the church. What they sing is a message. And what they sing should come from a heart that believes the same thing that this church stands for. So in this church, the only time we would ever let anyone sing in this church that was not of like faith and order is if they were part of a group, and the group came from a missionary Baptist church or organization, and they had a missionary Baptist song leader leading them in song. Now, that's as far as I'll ever go as pastor, and I don't think that's violating a principle. But this offends some people, and I have some very, 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 very dear friends that are not missionary Baptists. And one of the best friends I have is a former Methodist that I taught Security of the Believer. Now, when we assemble together in this auditorium here, it is to worship God. And when we come together to worship God, we have teaching, preaching, and singing. The people who perform these three things need to be of like faith and order. Now, you can get your feelings hurt and get mad and get irritated all you want, but that's what the Bible indicates should be done in a worship service. Now, the fact that 99.9% of our missionary Baptist churches don't practice that anymore is of no great concern to me, because I have to answer to God for what we do here. So I wanted you to know beforehand what our rule of faith and practice is here. And I guarantee you, if you ever, ever allow any one of those three to be violated, it won't be long until someone will say, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so sang in this church. Why can't we have this group in called the Hot Mamas from Tupelo, Mississippi that are really religious? And they've got a point and they've got a case. So I wanted you to know that. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. These are the qualifications for a deacon. And let these also first be proved. We waited a long time before we accepted Brother Shipley as a deacon. He didn't complain. He didn't grumble. He didn't gripe. I knew he was a wonderful deacon. I knew he was a wonderful man. I had the testimony of his pastor. I knew what his record was. But we waited a very long time before we voted to ask him to be a deacon in this church because he had been ordained by Russell. And I was the one who asked the church to do it because he had proved himself. He is a fine and a wonderful man, a wonderful deacon. He's proved himself in every way. But we only have one deacon. Now, how many deacons we have is up to you. It's strictly up to you. And I give you my word, I'm just going to show you what these scriptures says, and I'm going to try as honest as I can to be as truthful as I can with God, with myself, and with you. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now that means not sinless, but blameless. One of the things I admire about Kenneth Eubank is that Kenneth went to the seminary with me. I don't have a better friend than Ken Eubank. And the reason that I admire him and love him so much is because Ken Eubank, when his first wife left him, he said, I don't feel I ought to pastor, because the Spirit convicted him. But Ken Eubank was called to preach. And the office of bishop, the office of a pastor, you must be blameless. That doesn't mean sinless. Now, what does it mean to be blameless? The word that is used here for blameless is a word that means there is nothing that an adversary can do if something comes up in your life, in the church, where he can say, I'm going to pull you down. And he goes back in that person's past, and it brings that up, and pretty soon it causes consternation and trouble and problems in the church. And that poor fellow that his wife left him has got more hellacious things to handle than you can imagine. So God in his infinite wisdom said he should be blameless. There's nothing in his past that can pull him down. Nothing. So why is Brother Shipley a deacon? There's nothing in his past can pull him down. Nothing. Oh, he sins. He has bad thoughts. We all do. But there's nothing in his past that can pull him down. He's a one-woman kind of man. And his record stands there. I cannot go back in this man's past and say, well, he shouldn't be this because I can't do it. Because it's not there. It's blameless. And that's the reason that I appreciate Ken so much. He preaches and teaches in this church. But Ken has told me he will never pastor. And that's one reason I admire him so much. He can teach and preach the Word of God, but as far as pastoring, fulfilling the office of a bishop, no, he's not supposed to. And Ken recognizes that. And I didn't teach it to him. He taught it to himself. And he's right. Even so must their wives be great. Well, now look back there at Shipley, 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 Shipley. Did you ever see a graver woman? Don't you dare smile. I mean, boy, she is grave, G-R-A-V-E. Now, that's one thing. A pastor's wife doesn't have to be. A pastor's wife doesn't have to be grave. She can be flighty and engage in all kind of conversations and criticize her husband's clothing. And she doesn't have to be. No, she should be that way. I want you to start being more grave. You think you can do that? Well, let me see here. I'll give you a little incentive. Now, you be grave. The office of a deacon being found blameless, even so must their wives be grave. Means they must be serious about serving God. I'll tell you, she's serious about serving God, or she wouldn't have put up with me all these years. Not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. So, Brother Shipley's got a wonderful wife. She is grave. She is not a slanderer. She is sober. She is faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Now, one of the things I emphasized to Cindy was, if you can explain to me how a deaconess can be the husband of one wife, I'll be happy to go along with appointing a deacon. But there's no way that can happen. A woman cannot be the husband of one wife. So that's the most obvious answer. But she asked me to explain the word, and so I'm going to. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. That's what they're supposed to do. Now, Brother Shipley did not raise perfect children. And I did not raise perfect children. But Brother Shipley, I think we both tried. And I think the office of a bishop and the office of a deacon in a church, that's what a deacon's supposed to try to do. And that's what a pastor's supposed to do. And they have to rule their house. But once they leave their house, heaven only knows. And they're going to go off track, on track, off again, on again, gone again, spin again. Some of them are going to turn out just great, just the way you wanted. Some of them aren't. But it's the attempt that you make. And so I think that that's one of the main qualifications. And a woman is not supposed to rule the house. It's supposed to be a man. And if women are wise, they'll let the man rule the house. Their lives will be a whole lot better, and the man's will be a whole lot better. And if he's an obnoxious type of fella, that doesn't mean they have to give in to him on ridiculous things that are just absolutely wrong and not according to Scripture. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great fullness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So that's the two times in the Bible this word diakonos is used with office, the office of a deacon. Both times are in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. The account of the appointing of the first men to fulfill the office of deacon in the Jerusalem church is given in Acts 6, 1 through 6. I'll tell you what happened, and it's very true, and it cannot be refuted. Gradually, over a period of time, in our churches, Missionary Baptist churches, the office of deacon in many churches shifted to be an honorary position. Like, so-and-so's a pretty good old boy. Let's make him a deacon. I like him. He does this, he does that. And it became an honorary position. And some churches just appoint a whole bunch of men because everybody likes them. They're good old boys. They're good men. They're good Christians. They're good this. They're good that. And they want to give them a position of honor. And as a result of that, in all my travels across this country, you have no idea how many churches I've been to where they had a membership of about 25 people attending and about 15 deacons. Now, the office of deacon, the first time deacons ever appeared in the Bible and the first ones ever appointed, we need to really look at Acts 6, 1 through 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. You had Grecians that were members of the church, and you had Hebrews that were members of the church. Now, back then, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't have Medicare. They didn't have Medicaid. They didn't have welfare. They didn't have PDQ, FOB, COD, and IOU. They didn't have a governmental structure that took care of people that were hungry, people that were old. They didn't have a welfare system. So back then, whenever someone made a profession of faith in Christ, they were disowned, absolutely disowned by their families. And they were destitute, regardless of their age. And so the church at that time took on the responsibility by the will of God that they took care of these people. Well, today, we will take care of people. But the government, quite frankly, in this country takes good care of people, and they do send them welfare, and they put them on welfare, and they buy Medicare, Medicaid. They take care of them well, and some people that are on that just take advantage of it, and others don't. But in the early ages, it was a real problem. Because the Grecians were saying, well, you're giving these Hebrew widows preference because they're Jews, and you're not giving us a right fair amount. And it was driving the pastors crazy. You know what drives pastors crazy? You know what just drives pastors up the side of the wall? I'm looking at them right now. No offense, but this is what it's all about. And it's the church members that drive the pastor up the side of the wall. And it's always something just like this. About you do this for him, you do that for me, you didn't do that for me. And it just destroys the pastor's confidence and the pastor's ability to do what God called him to do. He said, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. In other words, going around with a daily ration of food and whatever was necessary for them to have an existence and to continue to live, there was a big flurry about it. Oh my, I have a hard time. I have to get off somewhere. I don't have to do this anymore. You're a good church. You're good people. I don't have this problem anymore. I'll tell you that now. But during the middle part of my ministry here, man, I just have to go off somewhere else in a dark room and try to dismiss myself of anything that was going on in this church that was a problem. And the problem was usually caused by the very thing I mentioned when we first started. When we try to follow the Word of God here and new members come in and they don't understand it, they get mad. And that doesn't happen anymore, at least not lately. Then the 12, the disciples, called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. In other words, this serving of tables, seeing to the material needs of the church members, said, this is taking all our time. We're constantly doing this and concerned about this, and we're not feeding the church the Word of God. We're feeding them physical, material things, and they're surviving physically, but we don't have time to feed them spiritually. And it was the truth, because God's Holy Spirit testifies it was the truth. Therefore, conclusion. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I believe Brother Shipley is such a man. I believe that. That's why I highly recommended him as deacon. I believe he's such a man. I wish all the deacons in all the churches were like that. Now today, the idea is given that a deacon is supposed to be on fire for the Lord, and getting out there and witnessing and doing a multiplicity and a million one other things. And when he gets too old to do that, well, he needs to just move over and let the young fellows take over. That's not true. It's the deacon's character and his personality and his wisdom that God gives him and his honest report that is the thing that makes him a deacon. And he can do things in a church to help the church and to help the people. And there's a lot more to being a deacon than just running around all over town on a bicycle and getting on fire for Jesus. He says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. That's what I've tried to do here. In the first 20 years of my ministry here, particularly in the early part, that was very difficult. We had a lot of problems in this church. A lot of them you never knew about, because I didn't see fit to tell you. Oh, they weren't problems where we should have excluded somebody or something like that, but they were problems that involved internal differences between members in the church and internal consternation with me because I didn't have a pleasant bedside manner and because I preached too hard. It was very difficult. Finally, by the time I'd been here, I guess 20 years, the church finally let me study the Word. Well, I had to run all over the world and present it to people. That was God's will for my life, to do the work of an evangelist as well as pastoring the church. But you understood that as a church, and I praise you for it, and I thank you for it, and I thank God for leading you to understand that. And I was able to pray. I pray a lot for you. My bedside manner may not be that appealing. And I may not go around and visit as much as you'd like. And I may not be Johnny on the spot. But I do pray for you. I do talk to God about it, about my life, your life, the church, what God wants for this church. And I do study the Word. And that's what a pastor's supposed to do. And a lot of these churches will appoint a whole slew of deacons. And what are they for? It's an honorary position. These were appointed for a specific ministry. Now, if you appoint a whole bunch of deacons in a church, and you have a specific ministry in mind for them, that's fine. That's great. But there must be some specific thing in mind that you have for them to minister to the church in the material and physical realm. And in many churches, it's nothing but an honorary position. And the women get mad about it.
My husband was made a deacon, but your husband wasn't made a deacon, and blah, 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 we should have made him a deacon.
You get a whole bunch of deacons in a church, they're going to say,
well, my husband should have been a deacon.
He should have been a deacon. Why did we appoint him a deacon?
Why didn't you appoint him? You appointed him. And it just causes nothing but trouble. But if you've got a specific ministry for them, material, physical ministry, that you need, you have a large enough church that they need to go out there and minister to those people, fine. But most of the time, it's just an honorary position. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They chose him for that purpose and for that ministry. And they kept the title of deacon, as far as I've been able to tell, the rest of their lives. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They ordained them. So that's good. Church order ordained deacons. The word translated deacon twice in 1 Timothy 3:10 is diakonos. That's the God-breathed, inspired word, diakonos. 1 Timothy 3:10, office of a deacon, that's the word, diakonos. But the same word is translated in the New Testament 7 times as servant and 20 times as minister. Some want the office of deacon for the wrong reason. It identifies them as being somebody. You know what one of the greatest sins in my life was, and at times still is, wanting to be somebody. I confess before the Lord, it's not like it used to be. But all young preachers want to be somebody. And a lot of times, young men in the church want to be somebody. They want to be a great servant of God. But Jesus used the word translated as deacon in 1 Timothy 3:10 through 13 to rebuke that motivation. When he used the word servant, which is diakonos, same identity, and Jesus used it to rebuke the attitude that many churches are approving men as deacons, and they have this attitude. Why strive for the office when you can do the work without being appointed to it? Why is it so important to you? Everyone can be a diakonos in the local church. You don't have to be appointed. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have to have hands laid on you to be a servant. And that's what the word means. He rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for seeking high office for the wrong reason. And then he used the word servant, diakonos, in the following scripture to tell church members to not do, that should be D-O, to not do the same thing in the church. Let's take a look at it. Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. He said, they've taken over Moses' position, and they're the leaders of the people now rather than Moses. He said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, according to the teachings of Moses, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. He said, what they tell you to do from the law of Moses, do it. But he said, don't do what they're doing and don't follow their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. That's what a lot of young men want in a church, is to be somebody. And finally, the church, because they like them, they make them deacons. That never was God's intention. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. That's what the scribes and Pharisees did on the bottom of their garments, so they could see that they were somebody. They were a point. They were important in the temple and in the worship of God. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uttermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues. This almost sounds like an ABA meeting. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, Master, Master. But be not ye called Rabbi, Master, for one is your Master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. Now, he goes on, and he's going to get to the word diakonos after he's made all this to do about what the scribes and Pharisees are doing. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Why do you think that I'm always on to the Catholic Church and their hierarchy? That's what they do. And they want to be somebody. They want to be noticed. They want people to look at their clothing and say, there is a holy man. And they want to look at the Pope and say, there is the holiest of them all. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, now get ready. You want to be somebody? Here's what Jesus said. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's the God-breathed word, diakonos. You don't have to fulfill, you don't have to hold the office of deacon to do the work of a diakonos. I think we've got lots of people in this church that do the work of a diakonos. And those of you who do what you do in this church, you need to learn what your motivation is for doing it. And if it isn't right, you need to correct it. There's some people in this church that I observe, and I see the things they do. And they don't do it for praise for me. They don't do it for praise for you. They don't want to be somebody. They just want to serve the Lord. And they do the work of a diakonos. A diakonos is a servant. Everyone in this church, and certainly your pastor, should be a diakonos. Not to fulfill the office of a diakonos, but to do the work of a diakonos. And all of us can do that. And so it's the work of a diakonos that's important. Oh, the office is to be honored. And if the man who fills it is doing it directly, he is to receive great honor. And he is to be recognized as a man who doesn't want to be somebody, but who just wants to serve God. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That's not just true with the work of a diakonos. It's true of the office of a deacon. And it's true with the office of pastor, with the office of bishop. When I came here, I wanted to be somebody. And God crammed it down my throat. And I got to be somebody. I got to go all over creation. And people praised me. And I got to be somebody. I discovered being somebody. Trying to maintain that level of being somebody.
is a curse. And not too long after I got involved in going all over, I had to study to preach God's word. And I'm the one that got convicted. And I'm the one that got zapped. And I'm the one that changed. I don't want to be somebody. I just want to be a deacon. I just want to be God's servant. And because I am holding the office of a bishop, I want you to be diaconos. I want you to do the work of a diaconos. But it's not me that wants it, it's God. And finally, I discovered that if I just try to do the work of a servant, a diaconos, and won't try to exalt myself, my life will be a whole lot simpler and a whole lot easier. And it is. Until you learn to work as a diaconos for the Lord, you'll look upon everything you do in the church as a burden, and you'll try to find some way to get out of it. But you're doing what you do for the Lord as His servant. You don't have to have us ordain you and put hands on you to do the work of a diaconos. The word servant is diaconos. So what is the point of everything that I've shown you? This is what I sent to Sissy, all of this. You don't have to be appointed to be a servant to be one. Think about that. You don't have to be appointed to be a servant to be one. And so that's the truth. And those people who are servants to God and His church never were appointed to fulfill an office. Do you think God's going to reward them less than somebody who was fulfilled the office of deacon and didn't do the work? The word diaconio, see that little O on the end? That's a verb. I've been showing you the masculine diaconos. Most of the words that end in O-S are nouns. But you take the same word and you put a O on the end of it. In this case, it's kind of a verb form. It describes the action. The word diaconio, diaconio, is used when referring to the work of a diaconos. It is translated as minister 7 times, as minister unto 15 times, and as serve 10 times. I give you my word. I'm not preaching to you. I'm not getting on to you. I'm not jumping on you. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I give you my word. I'm not. I'm just trying to show you what I discovered about myself and about what was wrong in my own life and why I need to be a servant, because you don't have to be appointed to be a servant to be one. The word diaconio is used when referring to the work of a diaconos. It is translated as minister 7 times, as minister unto 15 times, and as serve 10 times. Any church member can do what the words direct without holding the office of a deacon. So the matter is between you and God. Are you going to perform them or aren't you? And it's your call. It's not God's. It's not mine. And it's not this church. It's your call. Matthew 27:55. I'm going to show you where this word was used again. Matthew 27:55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, ministering unto. It's diaconio. Well, I tell you what, I'm not Jesus. I'm just a servant. And I'm a bishop. But this is a diaconio. She's ministered to me for over 50 years. Over 50 years. You all know her in this church. Now she's losing her sight. But she's done the work of a diaconio. Has she ever tried to be somebody? Has she ever tried to be anything except a servant? I'm just pointing out something to you as to how you can do the work of the deaconial. There's another one right back there. She's ministered to him all these years. He's a deacon. He holds the office of deacon. But she's done the work of a deaconial. And even though you pushed her off the garage, there's another one. Now, this is real. This is genuine. There's another one back there. They do the work of a servant, a diakonos, yet they're female. You think when they get to heaven, the Lord's going to say to them, well, I'm sorry, you did all the work of a deacon, but I can't reward you because you weren't a man. No, absolutely not. God's going to judge us on whether we did the work of a diakonos. Not whether we fulfill the office or not. Now the one who fulfills the office, I'd have to say, would get a greater reward, because he has to take an awful lot of flack. Deacons don't have an easy life. They have to watch the pastor sometimes, and sometimes pastors go haywire. And they have a lot of things, and they're concerned about it. So I would have to say that a man who holds the office of a deacon and does the work of a deacon, a diaconio, and performs it, would probably get a larger reward. Women cannot hold the office of a deacon. It would be difficult for them to be husband of one wife. But it was certainly possible for Phoebe to do the work of a deacon. And this is what Sissy was referring to. This is the last verse. Romans 16, 1 through 6. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant, diakonos. She did a diaconial work, but she wasn't appointed to the office of deacon. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant, that's the word diakonos, of the church, which at Caesarea, that she receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that she assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. If it were not for the diaconial work done by women in a church, the church here would not be what it is today. Ladies, it is Mother's Day, and you know I don't really preach many Mother's Day messages. I usually chew you out. But if it were not for your work, and every one of you ladies can do the work of a diaconial, and how you treat your husband, and you minister to your husband, and you encourage your husband, and how you go through life doing that work, believe me, when you come before the Lord, he's not going to forget it. Do you think God will reward you in heaven for being appointed to the office of deacon, or for doing the work of a deacon? So that was my answer to Sissy, and I sent it back to her as an attachment. I sent it back to her today. I need to do the work of a diaconio. So do every one of you. And we need to pay particular attention to God's word. Now, why did they appoint those first deacons? So they could have more time for the word of God. I give you one valuable service as an instrument of God with no power of my own. I preach and teach you God's word. You'll never know this side of heaven how much God's word has helped you. And I'll never know how much it's helped me. But this church is based on the word of God. And if you follow the word of God, every person in the church will start to do the work of a diaconia. Brother Charles Trustee, would you dismiss us?